Live from the News Talk WANI studios in Auburn, Alabama, this is Auburn Opelika This Morning.
Welcome into the WANI hotline here on Auburn Opelika This Morning, your News Talk and Information Station. Philip Ensler with me, running for Lieutenant Governor in the Alabama Democratic primary. And first off, welcome, Philip. Appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thank you. No, great to be on, and hope you and your listeners are doing well.
I will have to ask you, this is one of my first questions I ask everybody right now before we get into like the details of, you know, why you're doing this and being involved in it and all that kind of stuff. But how's the campaigning going, man? I always worry about you guys, the door to doors and the all the meetings and all the functions and dinners and everything you could imagine. So how's the campaigning thus far?
I love it. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. It is physically tiring. It takes a lot of work, but I love getting out there. I love meeting people at their doors and at town halls, and it really energizes me. And just hearing from people, even when they have concerns, even when they're you know, have some tough questions, it's really uplifting to get out there. So I've been enjoying it, and to be able to travel the state and go all around to, I've gone to 23 of the 67 counties so far. So lots of time in the car, but it's been great so far.
Well, whenever they bump up to you, how many people are saying, you know, what does the lieutenant governor do? Like, why are you doing this?
I do get that question a good bit, and it's a very valid and good question. And the short answer of it is there's like the very procedural aspect of it where the lieutenant governor presides over the state Senate, so oversees kind of the process and the rules up there. But then there's a part of it that I think is really untapped into, which is to have a policy presence and portfolio where the lieutenant governor can try to bring together Democrats and Republicans and bring together different senators and even representatives down in the House and try to work together on legislation and really raise awareness about ideas and try to get some good things passed. So that's what I think is an underutilized part of the role, but one that I certainly would want to focus on.
So you're a rep for District 74 currently, House of Representatives, as well as a civil rights attorney, state legislator. So, you know, I guess people are asking, why are you running? Why go from that to looking at doing something like this?
Yeah, it's been an absolute honor serving, and legislating is challenging work, but it's incredibly rewarding to try to not just try, but to actually do things that make a difference in people's lives. And in the House, I've had a strong record of getting things done, working across the aisle. I've secured funding for a mental health program. I've helped lead the effort to ban Glock switches, which turn handguns into machine guns. I work really closely with community groups and law enforcement. I work to secure funding for a community health worker program, so to help some of the most vulnerable residents dealing with healthcare issues and so many other things that are not Democrat or Republican, but really help, you know, people in general, and to extend that and expand on that statewide and really work then with colleagues up in the Senate would be a really meaningful way to continue serving. And Alabama is an amazing place, but we also have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of people that are struggling to pay their bills. We have people that are having a hard time getting to hospitals and getting the right health care, people who are concerned about making sure there are good public schools in their area, making sure there are safe neighborhoods. So I want to expand on the work that I've done, and being a legislator and being in politics is not just about talking the talk, but it's about, you know, walking the walk and getting things done. And I've done that and would be honored to continue to do it on the state level.
One thing that we've seen at the state level, and that is everything from even the current administration, as they've helped and grow Madison County and Huntsville area, and even with the current administration with Governor Ivey in the state of Alabama, we've talked about how, and I'm sure you've been a part of this too, the port city down in Mobile. I mean, we've seen the shipyard that continues to grow. So jobs, workforce development, economic growth, that kind of thing. I guess, you know, your stance on that and where we stand as far as, could we get better, or are we needing to do some more manageable growth, or how that would be something that that you would look at?
Sure. I mean, the growth is great in so many ways, and for those places, the economic activity and what it means for jobs, and then what it means as far as having a strong local tax base and what that means then for local projects and development and schools is all great. But I know there are a lot of people in rural areas that also are in need of that kind of development. So having a more of a strategy where we try to bring as many rural places and some of those other surrounding areas into the fold to make sure that they're benefiting as well. But I think it's a very valid concern that when there ends up being more in places, like I said, up in Madison County, down south, even mm-hmm. In the Auburn area, traffic can get really bad. And no one wants to get stuck in bad traffic. So being thoughtful about how we plan for the development and making sure that local infrastructure, so roads and bridges, can really handle the intake and uplift. So being thoughtful about it, yes, of course, more jobs, more businesses are great, but we have to do it in a way that's not going to end up burdening residents in a way that it ends up becoming not fun to live in that particular place.
Again, Philip Insler joins me on the WINI hotline, Alabama Democratic primary candidate that we're discussing this particular campaign that's going on right now. With that said, and with the jobs and the workforce, and you mentioned, education, and you mentioned like Auburn and Madison County, and I've said before, I don't hide this because my dad is down in Covington County, and I said we're kind of blessed here in Lee County. We kind of live in a bubble. We got Lee County education system is great, Opelika's great, Auburn's great. What a lot of people don't want to talk about is, say, Lowndes County, Alabama, and how it's not great down there, or some parts of even Covington or Conecuh County and that kind of thing. So I guess my question in regards to that is with the growth and development, when you bring them here, you got to put them in a good spot, but you got to put them in a good school system as well. So education system, you always hear about it, not being where it probably needs to be, but there are some changes, too, that need to take place within that.
For sure. And my first job after college, I did the program Teach for America. I was a public school teacher here in Montgomery Public Schools at what was Lee High School, now called Percy Julian. And I taught ninth grade world history and saw firsthand what our schools, what the needs are, what the great things are about them. And absolutely, in any part of the state, for people to want to live there, having good schools and having safe neighborhoods are two essentials to then attract businesses and to attract people to want to live there. And with public education, I've been a staunch advocate, and I think everything from making sure that we are teaching students and preparing them, yes, for college, but making sure we have more technical trade programs, making sure that there are scholarships. So those who want to go to a four-year college, great. But for those who want to learn a trade and learn a particular skill, that the state will also help them with that certificate. So doing more of that and having more of that in our K through 12 schools is really important. Also, though, to attract teachers to work and be in those schools, we have to pay them well. We give a lot of lip service to how great they are, but certainly having some good pay and good benefits is a big part of it. And money can't solve all the educational problems, but having some more resources certainly is helpful and important. And just like anything, if you want it to do well, properly investing in it is a way to at least have a good foundation. And as someone who's worked with our students, I know that teaching them things like financial literacy and teaching mm-hmm. them about interest rates and FICO scores and how to properly invest money and save money and all these life skills, having more of that in our classrooms, I think will help overall with our education system.
Education is something everybody likes to talk about, so we covered that. But, one of the other things that I'm sure you get asked about a lot on the campaign trail, because this gets brought up both nationally as well as state government, local government gets brought up as well, because we deal with our roads and infrastructure and all that kind of stuff around here in the Auburn-Opelika area. But gas, rent, utilities, groceries, and, as lieutenant governor, what are some of the things that you could help bring to the table if elected that could help with those sort of things? Because that's the everyday citizen, as I call it, the big box store test, whether it's a Walmart or Publix or a Kroger or whatever it may be, how much are they hurting when they walk in and out of there?
Yeah, and that's the biggest issue that comes up. And it doesn't matter what county I'm in. It doesn't matter what part of the state. People bring up their utility bills. They bring up the cost of living. And it's hard. I mean, people really are having a tough time, and they don't have the savings. They don't have the cushion. If God forbid there's some sort of emergency, people are just one accident away, and having a situation where they can't afford a medical bill, or they have a mechanical issue with their car and can't afford to fix it or get a new part. And people are really hurting, and government can't. We can't fix all of that, but there are certainly reasonable things that we can do to help people. And one thing I've proposed is that we have, and I say this all the time, you don't have to want to be a, gamble or even, be interested in that. But what we're missing out on money from a state lottery. And I've filed a bill this past session and proposed that we use the proceeds to go towards rebate checks. So to send money to individuals to help them pay some of those bills. And as Lieutenant Governor, the state Senate was one vote short of passing gaming legislation 2 years ago. And what I would do is I have great relationships, certainly on the Democratic side, but I work really well with my Republican colleagues, and would work to make sure there's a majority of votes up in the Senate for that kind of legislation. And I always can say you don't have to be someone who is into gaming and gambling, but it's money that we're missing out on. So those rebate checks would be one really important way to do it and address it. We need to look at things like having the exemption on overtime pay. We had that for 1 year, and then the legislature let that expire. But for hourly workers, I mean, not paying taxes on that overtime is huge. I mean, we're talking about a significant amount of money that working families could be using. And then one other proposal, the legislature has reduced the grocery tax, but as Lieutenant Governor, I would continue to work with both the House and Senate and the governor to completely eliminate that. And every little bit makes a difference, and that adds up month after month. So those are some basic things we can do to put more money in people's pockets.
You know, I guess, and this is not necessarily to do with the campaign, but, what some of the holdup has been. You mentioned the gaming and the gambling, and the one that I've been, I've said before, I'm not a big casino fan, so that I don't like. But the sports gambling, people can do it right now. And I do wonder how much money is headed out of the state, because anybody that is over the age of 18 can get an online account, and those tax dollars and that money heads elsewhere, but yet it's not approved for Alabama, so you can't do it here, and you can't get it here. Is there anything, what could change to in order to possibly get that involved? And that's beyond lottery. I know we're talking kind of in the weeds here because that's the new thing is the online sports betting, but anybody can do it. I mean, and the bad part is some of them that have a VPN, some of these high school kids are doing it, which I'm definitely not advocating for, but that's revenue that the state of Alabama may be missing out on.
Exactly. And I think we have to be realistic in that no one wants to raise taxes. So we need to look at then other revenue streams. And if we want good public schools, if we want hospitals to be open, if we want good roads and bridges, we want good public safety. I mean, we have to get the money from somewhere, and people are going to gamble and do these things regardless. So if we have a mechanism where it is legalized, and of course there needs to be a good regulatory structure for it. There needs to be mechanisms in place to try to prevent, like I said, underage people from doing it. Certainly if they're then gambling addictions, there should be resources to help people with that. But if we don't have some sort of framework in Alabama, we don't have any sort of legislation that legalizes it, then right, that money does go out of state. And it's not the panacea. It's not going to fix all of our financial needs and issues, but it is one way that we could bring in some more revenue without raising people's taxes.
You mentioned in that answer, hospitals, rural, hits close to home. My late mother was a pediatric nurse practitioner at a rural clinic. And that is something that you've seen even rural hospitals closing and consolidating and not being open anymore. Healthcare is becoming a scarce issue within the state of Alabama. So what are some of the answers that could be proposed from the Lieutenant Governor standpoint, as well as working with all 67 counties in order to make it available for not just people that live in Auburn, Opelika, or Montgomery, or Huntsville or Birmingham, but even, as I said, coming in Conecuh County or Dallas County, something of that nature?
Sure. Sure. And I, traveling all over the state here, particularly in these more rural counties where it's scary. I mean, people that have to drive an hour, two, if not sometimes even 3 hours to get to an emergency room to get for women that are delivering a baby. There's just is not access that is close by. And someone even shared with me the other day that lives in one of the metropolitan cities that she won't even travel to see her family in the Black Belt because she's almost 9 months pregnant and due any day, and wants to go see her relatives there. But she said, look, I don't want to risk being somewhere where I'm not close to an emergency room if some, God forbid, there are any sort of complications, and certainly don't want to be far away from a delivery room. And so it's having a real world impact on people's medical care, but also just the decisions they make as far as where they live and if they're going to see family and travel to go be with them. So one way to address that is Medicaid expansion. And I know for a long time some people didn't like that term, and they had all these misconceptions about it. But Medicaid expansion is healthcare for hardworking working class people. And if we tapped into expanding Medicaid, that's hundreds of millions of dollars that the state could use that would help hospitals, and that can make a significant difference. And I know an argument at one point was, well, the state would be on the hook for anywhere from 10 to 20% of the cost. And my answer to that is that, well, the economic studies show that if we expanded Medicaid and hospitals and other medical facilities stayed open, then those are local employers and they are employing doctors and nurses and all sorts of other people that work in a hospital, and then they're paying taxes and that goes back into the state and the economy. So that would essentially pay for itself. So Medicaid expansion would certainly be one way to help address that. And then also we have to, and part of this deals then with the federal government, but dealing with Medicare reimbursement rates. The way it's structured in the formula right now is that Alabama gets a very low reimbursement rate. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's tied to wages. And there's kind of all these complicated formulas, but there are things that I would do as lieutenant governor, partnering with our congressional, our federal partners to address that. And when it comes to Medicaid expansion, that's something that the governor can just sign into law. The state then, of course, has to appropriate the remaining funds that need to be covered. So I would work closely with both budget chairs in the House and Senate to make sure that those funds get in there, and certainly work with the governor, to put together a good plan to have that in place.
Philip Insler for Lieutenant Governor, Alabama Democratic Party. Philip, I'll let you end with this, as I ask every candidate when I have them on. This is your pitch, is basically, as people are walking into the polls right now, what your final pitch would be of why they should vote for you and why they should pull the lever in your direction.
Sure. Well, I appreciate the time to get to speak with you. And look, by way of background, like I said, my first job after college, I was a public school teacher. I continue to do tremendous amount of work with our young people and mentor them, and certainly bring that into my leadership and my work. Went to law school to try to fight for a fairer and more just state and make sure everyone is treated equally. Learned from that, though, that there are a lot of laws in the state that we can address to try to help improve people's lives. And at the legislature, as a freshman, as a Democrat, I've gotten a lot done, and will continue to do that by working with colleagues, by working with community members. I hear too many people that are concerned about putting more money in their pockets, are concerned about, like we said, hospitals and public education and neighborhood safety. And too often leaders in Alabama are focused on everything but solutions to those issues. And I'm someone who, I bring people together. I focus on getting things done. I focus on working with people and finding the things that unite us. So I'm certainly going to continue to do that and ask for everyone's support on May 19th in the primary and then in November, and hope to continue my long record of service and trying to make a difference in people's lives.
Again, that's Alabama Democratic primary candidate Philip Insler, who is running for lieutenant governor. Auburn Opelika This Morning, your news talk and information station.